From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting this community radio station, and thank you for being here today. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm David Baker, more commonly known as Maverick, sitting in for Stephanie Coleman, who's on assignment this evening. The COVID-19 Wall of Memories is the brainchild of Mohammed Nasrullah. Observing the steady rise in the numbers of sick and dead from the disease, he began thinking of a way to memorialize them, to keep them from being merely statistics. When the United States reached 100,000 deaths, he felt called to action, to create something to remember and honor their lives. Mohammed imagined a digital version of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. He shared his vision with his wife, Ruth, a freelance journalist, who proposed that the website also provide context and details through a new news and analysis page. Mohammed's brother added his software design skills, and the COVID-19 Wall of Memories was begun. Ruth and Mohammed Nasrullah, welcome to Open Journal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes,
thanks for joining us to talk about this important work. Mohammed, how has this vision, this project that's now manifest, how has that begun to impact your life?
Okay, so my job in this project is to review, you know, stories about the victims or the people who have died in this country, you know, as visitors come to the website and they upload stories of their loved ones. I get to review them. I get to kind of understand, you know, the background. And sometimes it gets to be a little too much. Some of these stories are really, really sad. There's so many couples on the Wall of Memories that have died within hours or days of each other. And there are young kids. We have a young 12-year-old girl from Arizona who was fine, very healthy girl, and she caught COVID, and within a matter of weeks, she died. And her story, when I read that, it is really, really touching. So sometimes it becomes so... I get really emotional, and I just cannot, you know, no longer work on the project. I have to shut my laptop down and then go do something else, like go for a walk or just get away from it. And then I know that I have to come back and continue my work, because this is a memorial. We want to keep this to remember all the people who have died to this terrible disease. So, yeah, it is affecting my life on a daily basis.
COVID-19 has really been such a terrible disease in the last year. And the fact is that 20 years from now, there's going to be kids growing up who really didn't really know that much information about it. And having a memorial like this to memorize all of the folks who passed away from this disease, it's really honoring them. And it's a great thing. And, you know, like you said, it's very difficult sometimes because of the stories where it is somebody so young who passed away. And that's somebody's family member, you know, that's somebody's brother, sister, son, daughter, grandmother, you know. And I guess I just want to know, what was it that compelled you to do this?
Okay, I don't know. Maybe I may sound a little selfish, but I felt like if I was one of those numbers, you know, I would like to be remembered by my children, my grandchildren, or my friends and coworkers. So that's how I felt like, you know, the people who are dying, these are our community members. Just recently, just last week, one worker that I used to work with, I shared an office at NASA with him, he died of COVID. A few months back, a family friend of ours in California, a young guy, 41 years old, he died of that. So it's really, I felt like we need to have this memorial to remember and memorialize these folks. So that's the vision, and that's our mission that keeps us going.
Ruth, I wanted to ask you, with your background in journalism as a writer professionally, how did that help in manifesting this vision that Muhammad originally came up with?
I think that my immediate response when he told me about it was we need to have some kind of context or a bigger picture. We need to tell a story. And a few weeks ago, I actually woke up in the middle of the night and I said, what are we going to do when it's over, if it ever is? You know, what are we going to do then? And I realized what we're doing is documenting the story of COVID-19 in this country as best we can. And so, you know, as you said, being a writer, I immediately, you know, kind of was drawn to let's say more about it. Let's research more about it. So we have the news page, The Observer, which is on the website, and I have writers from all over the country who have contributed all different kinds of articles. We try to go for as unique angles as we can. And my father, who's a jazz historian, wrote a couple articles for us about how COVID has impacted the jazz scene, which who would have ever thought about something like that? But it was, you know, that's really interesting. So that's what I brought to it. And ever since I kind of had that, you know, wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night moment, I just keep saying that's what we're doing. We're telling the story of COVID. And this website, God willing, will be around for a while. We want it to be a repository of those stories, you know, the stories of the victims and their loved ones, but also the stories of, you know, people who were impacted, people who have opinions, and people who've learned things along the way as this has gone along.
You know, and that's what's so great about this is that Muhammad, you had this idea, and then Ruth, you have the journalism background. And, you know, when I think of what journalism is, it is about telling those stories.
Right. Yep.
And it's just so inspiring. How has the outreach been like for family members who have seen these articles, these stories published on there?
There's a lot of these sort of memorials around of different kinds. You know, some are social media, some are websites, you know, there's all sorts of things. But there's really nothing like ours out there. I actually have a Google alert on a variety of variations of, you know, COVID-19 wall of memories, memorial, remembrances, that sort of thing. And so like every day I check and I don't find anything like ours because it's a website that, you know, we had built from the ground up. It's got a lot, you know, again, the context, the additional information. So it's something more substantial than a lot of these other memorials that we see. So I think that people definitely see the value in that. And we also try to be very solicitous of the people who have, you know, brought the stories of their loved ones to the wall. We're actually going to be having, for the second time, an event called Read Their Names, which is simply we have people come and read the names of victims and read the names of people who passed away from COVID. And it sounds so simple. It's really moving. And so I've invited, the first one was when we had just launched in January. So this one where I've invited the people who did bring their loved one's stories to the wall. So they'll be reading names and talking a little bit about their loved one as well.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM and digital FM HD1. We are visiting with Muhammad and Ruth Nasrullah, who have created the COVID-19 Wall of Memories. COVID-19wallofmemories.org, all one long word, is the access point to this. It's amazingly compelling and very entrancing. When you open this page, when I opened it, I just saw a screen of about 30 little black and white photographs. And I'm presuming correctly that These are all people who have passed from this pandemic. But until I actually moved onto the screen, I didn't realize that once I put the cursor on any one of those black and white images, it then came to life, so to speak, and opened up the story of that person and reveals things that are not immediately apparent. And as you scroll through, it's just, I can understand completely, Muhammad, how this would be the type of project that you honestly do have to step away from and go walk in the park or something, or look at the clouds for a little while every so often. I was wondering, just on the practical nuts and boltsy aspect of this, how this is being built and how is it growing? How is more information, more pictures, more stories, how are those all added into this overarching wall mm-hmm. that you're building electronically?
Yeah. Muhammad, did you want to take that or should I?
Okay. Go ahead and take that.
Okay. Yeah, we kind of divide up. You know, we've done so many of these that we kind of divide up our script. But we collect stories to post on the wall in basically three ways. First is the people who do bring the stories of their own loved ones, you know, whether they're relatives or friends, and we vet those as best that we can. Nothing goes on the wall without us vetting it. So that includes those people. Then we also, you know, because there's over 500,000, right? Mm-hmm. And we, you know, if we just wait for people to bring their loved ones stories, not everybody wants to do that. You know, we would have to do like a massive nationwide PR blitz to let people know we're there. So what we do is we excerpt online obituaries. So that way we're able to get those people's names and a little bit of their story up there. So, you know, what we do is we just will take like maybe the first few sentences or the first paragraph of the obituary and then put the link to where it came from. Mm-hmm. So we have that. And then sometimes we do the same with newspaper articles. You know, we just excerpt them very briefly and put a link. So those are the three basic ways that we're getting people's names there. And, you know, it's amazing. At this point, we have over 5,000 people honored on the wall. But that's, what is that, like 0.1% or something?
Yeah, 0.1%.
Yeah, but we'd love to have more people, you know, bring in the stories of their loved ones to the wall.
Yeah, and these stories are going places, and this is what people are going to look back on. And you know, like you said, journalism is all about telling the stories, and these stories are powerful. They're meaningful. And I took a look at the website and, you know, clicking on some of those pictures and you read, you feel like you get to know them in a way,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think that right there is how we are able to feel like we know these people and connect to them on a more personal level, because that is somebody's grandparent. It is somebody's mother, somebody's sister. And I guess what I want to know is how can people, you know, help you do what you do?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
There's several ways. On the website, there's a button for people to volunteer. You know, they can click on the button and it's just a small short form to fill out. Indicating, you know, their name and contact info and what they are interested in helping us. So that's one way. And the volunteer that we have right now, they are helping us with one aspect of what Ruth just described, taking information from online obituaries and adding it to the database that's behind this website. And once they do that, then either Ruth and I, as the administrator, we review everything. And then when we are satisfied that everything is correct, then it goes to the wall. That's one way. The other way is they can help with, you know, Ruth has the Observer page. She's always looking for fresh writers to write articles for her paid The Observer. And the third aspect is folks can help us with maintaining or defraying the cost of maintaining the website. Those are the three areas. And Ruth, maybe if I missed something, can you just go ahead and add on, please?
No, that sounds good to me. I would just add, though, that COVID-19 Wall of Memories is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So, you know, any donation that someone makes is tax deductible. And we did that because we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be like, we don't sell anything, put it that way. It's all about the people. It's all about the story. So, and because we knew we had the vision of it being something more than, you know, just, you know, like a Twitter account that retweets people's, you know, stories. So that's why we started by creating a 501c3. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't sell anything and we don't charge for anything.
Right.
You know, we honor the people who have died for because of this terrible disease. They get honored on the wall. Their family and friends can come to their story page and leave messages of condolence or just messages on their page. And there are so many people on the wall that friends and family have visited and left really touching messages, you know, for those people.
Mm. You know, I was wondering, Ruth, you mentioned that there's over 5,000 memorials posted on this now, scrolling through, and over 500,000 have, just in this country, died from this pandemic. So looking at the reality, logistically, that 0.1% have been posted to this wall, thinking that, you know, 10 times 10 times 10 amount of work that would be needed to make this a complete, you know, monster of a wall. What is the hope? What's the ultimate goal? Is it to, I mean, would you feel incomplete were only 500, you know, not all 5 million, you know, say 10% of them were posted? Or do you have a number in mind? Or the sky is the limit, you know, God's will kind of a concept?
Yeah, no, this is how we answer that question, is that we can't set a goal. You know, when we get to 10,000, that'll be great. Our goal is to have the story of every single person in this country who died of COVID. Can we do that? Probably not. But we have to count every single person. Yeah. Every single person counts. They all deserve a place on the wall. So there's no way for us to say, you know, well, and our database only has this capacity. I mean, you know, we want to honor everyone because everyone deserves to be honored.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed.
And I feel like that is the best part about this mission, that you're doing it to help other people.
Hopefully, yeah.
So, Ruth, as we begin to wrap on this, you are also involved in the local chapter of SPJ, the Society of Professional Journalists. Anything you'd like to share on what's going on in that aspect of you as a writer, as a professprofessional journalist, that our audience might need to hear?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to talk about SPJ. We actually just announced today we have a scholarship fund for eligible college students who are studying journalism or communications. And that information is on our Facebook page, Houston SPJ. So we're inviting people to, you know, start applying. The deadline is November 15th. And next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, we're having a program called Vet Your Own Story. And the speaker will be a woman from PolitiFact, if you're familiar with that. So she's an expert in digging up you know, facts and making sure that you're telling the accurate side. So that also is on our website. There's a link to sign up for that. And that's next Saturday, the 17th at 1 p.m. Central.
Okay. So this coming Saturday.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, the website for people to get involved, to actually participate in this project, to witness it, to be impacted by it, is COVID-19 Wall of Memories, COVID-19 Wall of Memories, onelongword.org. And it's an amazing and compelling project. I want to congratulate you and thank you for the service you're providing to all of the families, to all of us, even who have not had a family member impacted, because it is, this memorial is an amazingly moving experience. And we thank you for that. Ruth Nasrullah, Muhammad Nasrullah, thank you for the vision. Thank you for manifesting it. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you very
much. You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, dear friends, it is about time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley. You can support KPFT by going to our website, kpft.org, and perhaps making a tax-deductible contribution to the cause of conscious communication. Scroll down and make sure to put Open Journal in the memo on that. It would be a wonderful thing if you did so. And thanks to those of you who already have. Again, I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Maverick, sitting in for Stephanie Coleman, who should be returning from assignment next week. Our program archive is available through kpft.org. Please subscribe to the podcast, KPFT OJ. We are an all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell and Susan Phillips. Open Journal theme music is provided by Kevin McLeod. Join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations. Thanks always for your support.
Hey, and thank you, Maverick, for stepping in for Stephanie,
always.
She's been on assignment here for a couple of editions of the OJ. And as always, dear friends, we'd like to leave you with a thought for the week. This comes to us from Jackie Robinson, who said, "A life is not important except in the impact it has on others' lives." Take care of each other. Peace.